Hi everyone, this is Robert Rochelle with d3vbwest.com. And if you're a frequent listener, even an infrequent listener, you know that this site is dedicated to the West region, Region X, but I wanted to do a podcast that is more nationally focused. For this specific podcast, I want to go through the AVCA preseason rankings and see what changes need to be made come Tuesday when the week one rankings are released. The one thing I want the voters to do is to consider using a clean slate for this upcoming rankings. And really, I like using clean slates for all the rankings. I know it's easier to use what you've had before, but in this case, the preseason rankings, you know, we really have to remember that we were kind of totally clueless as far as the abilities of most of these teams. In a lot of cases, we've had two recruiting classes that we just haven't seen play. So with that, I'm going to violate everything I just said and step through the rankings, the preseason rankings, and say who lived up to the billing and who didn't. And I'll also try to throw out some schools that need to be considered that weren't. And finally, for my West region listeners, I will go through a few teams from our region at the end of this podcast that may need some love from the voters. So if you remember, from the ABC rankings, the number one team was actually Trinity out of Region X. And I'm not going to keep telling you which region it is because I really only memorized one region. But I don't have any issues with Trinity other than personal. But from a rankings perspective, you know, they had almost a perfect week except for an opening night no-show from their opponent, which was on Wednesday. But for the weekend, they hosted a tournament where no one pulled out, and they came away with four wins. They swept teams that they should have swept, and then they got one really good test from Whitworth. And you know, the voters had Trinity at number one, and as far as I'm concerned, they can still be number one, but I would definitely have them as a top five team. We have Colorado College that came in ranked number two, again another Region X team. They were undefeated in the spring. They also hosted their own tournament. Unfortunately, they had two teams that pulled out, and doubly unfortunately, those two teams were probably two of the better teams that were going to be in that tournament. They ended up winning all four of their matches. They had to play the two teams that were in it twice. So really, we don't know anything more than what we did about Colorado College coming into the season. I would like to congratulate Sharon Dingman for her first win as a Tiger. She came over from Chicago. You know, as far as the team, you know, I definitely would probably keep them as top five because I do think we should respect that undefeated spring season. But if a voter finds other teams that had tougher matchups and want to push them down a little bit, I'm not going to complain. I think Colorado College has plenty of time to show where they're going to be. And again, this is probably a good time to restate my view that each week's rankings should not be used as a basis for the next. So even though you may want to push Colorado College down, if they go and have a great win the following week, it doesn't mean that you're basing it off of where you have them. They should be placed whatever they've earned over the course of the entire season, not based on what they did from your last ranking, if that makes any sense. Our first non-West team was number three, was Calvin, a perennial powerhouse nationally. And Calvin actually gave us the first upset of a top 25 team. The biggest upset of a top 25 team is Augsburg tripped them up in four sets. In the other five matches, Calvin won, and that they won them all in sweeps, and that included a sweep against number 22 Otterbein. So they need some tough love in my mind. I think if they're in the single digits come ranking time, then they're probably too high at this point. And we probably should consider Augsburg for the rankings too, which I'll do at the end of this podcast. Team we come to is number four, Emory. Emory was 5-0, and they had five sweeps. So, like Colorado College, we really don't know more than what we did. They also hosted their own tournament. So, same thing as the Tigers. I'm fine with them anywhere in the top 10. I know they're sitting at four. I know the voters are going to be more inclined to push them up. But again, what do we really know from this team other than the fact that we know that they're a national power and we know they recruit well? So obviously, yes, I agree that they're going to be a top five team, but aren't we basing it on what's happened so far? And sure, we can throw in a little historical knowledge in there, but I'm not sure it's the time to go crazy week number one. So, but again, wherever you want to put them is fine. I'm definitely having them in the top 10. The number five team was Carthage. It's another 5-0 team. This is a team I really liked a lot beginning of the year. Their best win so far, Mabigan, was probably against Loris. And that's not too shabby at all. So I think I know more about them than I do about Emory or Colorado College. So definitely a top 10 team. I probably have them ahead of Emory at least. I do have some respect, for the Colorado College undefeated season from the spring. So, you know, I'll probably have to go back and forth on that, but that's kind of where I've got Carthage. Number sixth in the rankings was Johns Hopkins. How do the defending national champion Blue Jays get 23 first place votes, 7 more than Colorado College, but end up in sixth? And what that tells me is that a lot of voters really just had them too low. Hopefully voters didn't have them off their ballot. But, I agree we missed a year in between, and I actually don't have an issue with the sixth place ranking for Johns Hopkins, but I fear some of the voters we're ranking them in the double digits. The Blue Jays, they're 3-0 right now, and they have a win over number 12, Juniata. They also have a win over the host team, Ithaca. I'm really not sure anyone else did better this first week. They at least did as well as everyone else. So, you know, I said I was fine with the sixth place ranking. I think based after these results, giving them credit for a national championship, and sure, it was in 2019, but they're the defending national champions. I probably have them in my top two, and I probably will be trying to figure that out late tomorrow when I put my rankings together. Number seven, Hope. Hope had some nice wins this week. They went 3-0. They beat St. Olaf. They beat Aurora. They beat St. Benedict. They're a top five team, and they should be ahead of Calvin, in my opinion. So hopefully that's not too many top five teams already, but that's kind of how this goes, and then you kind of move things around from there. The eighth team was Barry. Barry was 2-0, but really didn't play anyone too difficult. I'm kind of, what I would use Barry for is kind of like a filler. Where do I need to put a team? Because really Barry could be ranked anywhere from 5 to 15, and I really wouldn't complain whatsoever. So as I fill the rankings out tomorrow, I probably will slip Barry in somewhere. They just haven't shown me anything this year, but I know they're going to be good, and there's plenty of time for them to prove that over for the rest of the season. Number nine, the ABCA had Chicago. You know, I was a little worried about Chicago coming into the season. Now that we have results, I kind of have to put that aside, because we have matches that have been played. They're 2-1. They have wins over St. Benedict and St. Olaf, but they took a 5-set loss to Whitewater, and it was 17-15 in the fifth set. So it was very close. And it was at Whitewater. So tough place to play. But, you know, I like to look at the points earned, the points for each team. And Whitewater finished with 8 more than Chicago did. So it obviously wasn't a fluke win. So in my mind, Chicago becomes another filler team just like Barry. I probably keep them after Barry for right now. But it also means that one of the teams I need to consider is Whitewater. And we'll look at them at the end. The 10th team, rounding out the top 10 that the ABCA had, was Claremont Mud Scripps. It's another team that I was nervous about, even though they're from my region that I cover. Beginning of the season, you know, they just lost a lot of talent over the last 2 years. But you know they know how to recruit. You know they're going to field a really good team. They're another school that was hosting their own tournament, and they came away with a 4-0 record. Now, they were challenged a bit by UC Santa Cruz and by Oshkosh, but for the most part, they looked like the old CMS. And you may look at that and say, well, Oshkosh, you know, what do they have this year? Santa Cruz, that, you know, they're never a spectacular team. But I've fortunately got to watch a couple of these matches, and it's nice when you can you have the stats to kind of go by, but it's also nice to have the eyeballs to say, okay, yeah, that's looking really good, and that's going to play against a lot of teams. Now, for now, I probably would keep them on the back half of the top 10. Next week, they're going to play some really spectacular teams. It's going to be a great tournament in the East-West Challenge, East-West Battle, whatever they're calling it. And we're going to know a lot more at that time about them and about the other teams in that tournament. Jumping down to number 11, we've got Transylvania. You know, Transy did nothing wrong this weekend. They played in the Pacific Coast Classic over in California, and they left there 4-0. My problem, if I could even call it that, is that I got to see them play at times on the video streams. And although they are a good team, I just can't put them in the top 10 right now. Maybe record-wise, they should be there. I just want to see a little bit more. You know, another problem, and it pains me to say this, but they played three SCIAC teams that looked to be struggling. That's not Transy's fault, and maybe they caused some of the struggling. But, you know, they were struggling against some other teams as well. So I kind of need to see more, and that's no fault of Transylvania's. That's just what I need. In hindsight, I would have loved to have seen them play CMS or even UC Santa Cruz. But there's no hurry. They're going to play a lot of really good teams. I probably keep them as a double-digit ranked team. I don't move them into my top 10. They certainly don't fall into the 20s by any stretch. But a good team, I just want to see them some more, I guess, is what I'm saying. A team I didn't see, number 12, Juniata. You know, they took a four-set loss to Johns Hopkins. And I don't really have an issue with that. The Blue Jays are good. So overall, they went 2-1. They did have a win over Ithaca. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this is another filler team into the rankings. I think they should be ranked. They're probably in the double digits, and we'll kind of see how the other teams kind of fall out in relation to Juniata. And, you know, we'll go from there. Number 13 was Texas Dallas. And I don't know why they can't just be called UTD or UT Dallas. I don't know who came up with Texas Dallas. I think it's kind of silly, but anyways, neither here nor there. Unfortunately, this is the first team we come to that's going to be bounced out of the rankings. I've been the loudest, I think, of anyone to say that UTD is a national power program, but it just didn't show this week. They finished 1-3. I think they should be dropped. Whether or not they will, I don't know. There's plenty of time to figure it out. But, you know, their history of being a top program shouldn't give them the ability to be ranked when they haven't proven it after a week's worth of games, I guess is what I'm saying. Number 14, Ohio Northern. The Polar Bears went 4-0 and beat two teams that I think we probably need to consider at the end of this in Mount St. Joseph's and Wittenberg. Although I've already looked at Wittenberg a little bit, and we probably won't consider them. But you know, they're definitely a top 10 team to me. So they definitely move into the top 10. I need to find a place for them. You know, based on those results, they did really, really good. Number 15, Mary Harden Baylor. They went 5-0 this week with a win over number 19, Birmingham Southern. You know, spoiler alert, I guess, BSC's, you know, in my opinion, shouldn't be ranked this coming week. So what did Mary Harden Baylor really show us then? If we're saying they beat a ranked team, but we don't think that team should be ranked, it doesn't show us a lot. It does show us a little bit more than some. And I think they're fine still being ranked in the teens. More of a longer-term problem for the crew, however, is that they really have an easy schedule, which is made even easier if UTD is going to have problems because they're in the same conference. My long-term forecast is that Mary Harden Baylor's probably going to go undefeated for a while, and they're going to start receiving first-place votes by the ABCA in a few weeks. But for me, you know, I don't know much more about them than I did, you know, before. And to be clear, I think they're a very good team. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know how good they are. So it's very difficult for me to move them up the board, I guess, so to say. Number 16 is Muskegon. They went 3-2 with losses to Mount Saint Joseph and Denison. And now I guess I need to look at Denison too. They did beat Wittenberg, but I think in the end Muskegon's going to drop. It probably kills any chance Wittenberg had. I think they didn't have a great record anyways. But Muskegon is probably, like UTD, is another team that I wouldn't have in my top 25 at this point in the season. Number 17 was Millikan. They went 4-0. I'm fine leaving them in the teens for now. I'm going to know more about them soon. They get Transylvania next weekend, and I think they get Carthage the week after that. So we're going to know everything we need to know about Millikan soon enough. Number 18 was St. Benedict. Unfortunately, they went 0-3. They played some very good teams. They have my sympathy. They have my respect. But, you know, bye-bye, I guess you would have to say. Number 19, Birmingham Southern. I kind of mentioned them before. They went 3-2. They had the loss to Mary Harden Baylor, but they also lost to Covenant. And they are 2-2. So it's really not good enough at this point. So we're also going to have to say goodbye to Birmingham Southern. Northwestern, the Eagles, they went 4-1. They lost to Eau Claire, which isn't, to me, a bad loss. I probably would have had Eau Claire higher than Northwestern to begin with, although Eau Claire wasn't in the rankings and is a team now that we're going to want to look at. But they did have wins over Bethel. They did have wins over Stephen Points. I like them in the teens. But obviously, we need to bring in Eau Claire, too, and we need to have Eau Claire ahead of Northwestern. So that's something that's going to have to be done. 21, we get towards the end here. Bowdoin, out of the New England region. They didn't have any games this week. They're not going to start playing until this coming weekend. And they haven't played for almost 2 years. So who knows really, you know, what, you know, they're going to do. I think it's fine that we have representation from New England teams. And we should probably keep them in the rankings. We'll know more, obviously, based on results soon enough. 22, Otterbein. You know, this one's a little tricky to me. They went 2-2. They had losses to Calvin and to Wittenberg. Unfortunately, Wittenberg is going to be a problem, so that's going to make Otterbein more of a problem. But they did beat Augsburg, who beat Calvin. So I think probably what's going to end up happening is Calvin's definitely going to make my rankings. We'll talk about Augsburg briefly in a second. They're probably going to make my rankings. And I'm pretty sure that probably pushes Otterbein out from my consideration. 23, the AVCA had Tufts. Again, just like Bowdoin, they did not play. Again, it's fine having New England representation. After all, look at all the national champions they've given us over the years. So we should give back, right? Number 24, Susquehanna. They went 2-2. They had losses to IWU and Christopher Newport, also two teams we want to look at. But we shouldn't be considering Susquehanna this week, unfortunately for them. Number 25, the last team in the AVCA top 25, was Elmhurst. And you know, the bottom line, when you're in the 20s, when you're ranked in the 20s, you have to be perfect. You can't go out there and lose. Elmhurst went 1-2. That's not perfect. It's not close to perfect. They should not be ranked. So that's it for the top 25 that the ABCA had. You know, as I was going through the teams, as I was looking at the wins and losses, I kind of was jotting down teams that we should consider based on the wins and losses that they had. Those teams, I'll just list them out. Augsburg, Whitewater, Mount St. Joseph, Wittenberg, Denison, Eau Claire, Christopher Newport, Illinois Wesleyan, Bethel were the ones that I had jotted down. You know, then I did a second pass nationally, and I said, what are the teams we're missing? And believe me, even though I went through and looked for teams that were missing, we're going to be missing teams that I missed looking for teams that we are missing. It's just, there's just too many teams out there to even know, you know, what's going on. I tried to look at teams that have been in the rankings before, powerful conferences. I avoided, you know, some of the other conferences that rarely get anyone ranked. It's fine if they earn it over time, but it's nothing that's going to be gifted to them by me anyways in the first week of the season. So some of the teams that I kind of looked at, my criteria was, you know, I really want them to be undefeated. And I want them to have a win over somebody that I know, that I respect, they may not be any good this year, but they have been in the past. So teams that popped up in that regard were like Wartburg, Eastern, Stevenson, Stevens, Babson, Mount Union, Virginia Wesleyan, Center, Southwestern, yay, Southwestern, and Everett. And some of those teams were surprising to me. We'll talk really, really briefly about each of these teams and where, you know, whether or not I'm going to consider them in my top 25. The first one that I have listed, Augsburg, they went 3-1. They had that big win over Calvin, but then they end up going and losing to Otterbein, who, you know, we previously talked about that's probably is not making my ranking. So right now I've got them with a little tick mark, meaning I think they're going to be in my rankings. It's hard not to. You have to give them some respect with that win over Calvin. So that's kind of where my mind's at right now. Whitewater, they went 2-0. I think I'm going to double check this and I'll delete it, so you won't even know that this was here if I was wrong. But, they went 2-0. They had a win over Chicago, and I think they were supposed to go to Chicago and play some other teams, but they dropped out. And I don't know the reason why. Maybe it was COVID, which is I'm referring to as the C word now. But whatever happened, they missed out on some games, but they ended up still playing at home. So I'm not really sure what the heck happened there. But still, you know, if we're going to look at Chicago and give them respect, then we also need to give respect to Whitewater. And I do have them as being ranked as well. Well, Mount St. Joseph, they went 4-1. They had wins over Muskegon. They had wins over Wittenberg, but they had a loss to Ohio Northern, who I'm going to probably have in my top 10. So I think Mount St. Joseph belongs somewhere in the rankings. I'm not sure where, but I think, you know, 4-1, that resume, let's get them on there. Wittenberg, I've already talked to them about it a couple of times already. You know, when I finally went and go looked in, they were only 1-3, and I sort of had flashbacks to 2019. You know, they had a bunch of losses, but they were all against quality teams, and they still got an at-large bid. And so maybe that happens here in the future if they don't win their conference. But I do not have them in right now. Obviously, at 1-3, you got to be a little bit better than that, despite who you're playing. Denison, they had that nice win. They're 3-1. They do have a loss to Mount St. Joseph. You know, it's probably just a team to keep an eye on. But they did sweep Muskegon. So interesting. You know, but Muskegon, I'm bouncing out of the rankings, so Denison is not going to be in my rankings, but it's a team I wouldn't have considered before that now I think, you know, we should. Wisconsin, Eau Claire, they were 5-0 and had wins over Northwestern, UTD, and Washington University. That's pretty good, guys, and they're going to be in my top 10. Christopher Newport was a team. They were a team, kind of, it's always a little surprising when they're not in the top 25, but they went 3-2. And they had losses to Virginia Wesleyan and Illinois Wesleyan University, IWU. So obviously we're going to skip over them for now. But that sure perked my interest in Virginia Wesleyan when I saw that. IWU, we just mentioned, they went 4-1, but they did have a loss to Clarkson. I could go either way on this. Right now I have that I'm going to pass on them. But we'll see. You know, when I do the math of the top 25, I think I kicked out like seven teams from the ABCA list. Not that that was my list, but that's seven teams that I wouldn't consider, whereas the other ones that I would. So we've got to make sure that we've got seven teams that'll fill in for them, obviously. Bethel was one of the last teams from this first group. They went 4-1. They had a win over Stevens Point. A lot of respect for Stevens Point, although I think they only went 2-2. And they had a tough five-set loss to Northwestern. So let's not be surprised to see Bethel in the top 25 at some point. I don't know if I'll have them in mind tomorrow, but they're certainly a contender. So again, I went through and looked at teams that were undefeated from conferences that you know typically have teams ranked or they've been ranked, teams have been ranked in the past. And came up with that list that I mentioned earlier, so let's take a look at those now. Leading off is Wartburg. They went 4-0. and they had a win over Gustavus Adolphus, and I think they had a pretty good record too. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they were like 3-1 or something like that. So certainly a team that is under consideration that the ABCA should also be considering. Eastern, they were 4-0. They had a win over Salisbury. Stevenson was 4-0. They had a win over Stevenson. That's interesting. I probably just wrote that wrong. I don't know who they beat. They didn't beat themselves. Isn't that great? Because they went 4-0. But there was some team that obviously I messed up on there. But Stevens was another one, 3-0. They had a win over Muhlenberg. Babson, so we did have some New England teams play. They were 4-0. They had a win over Johnson and Wales. Johnson and Wales, Rhode Island actually went 2-2, so who's to say there? But, you know, if I was looking at New England teams right now and wanted representation, then Babson would be the team that I would pick. And probably you will in my top 25, now that I think about it. Mount Union, they were 4-0. They had a win over Brockport. Virginia Wesleyan, that's a team, you know, that we saw from one of the other teams. I think they beat Chris Newport. So when I was looking at Chris Newport, I saw that. They went 5-0. They had a win over Chris Newport. They also had a win over Clarkson. They definitely need to be ranked. This is an oversight by the AVCA if they pass up on Virginia Wesleyan, as far as I'm concerned. One of the most shocking games over the weekend to me was Center out of the South, not only beating but sweeping UT Dallas over in the Washington St. Louis tournament. They went 4-0. They have that win. I have no clue how good they are. I think they went 2-8 or 2-10 in the spring. I am not holding out hope that they figured something out, or, you know, who knows, maybe they recruited somebody, but I'm not holding out hope that they're going to be making the Final Four this year. But based on the results and based on that win over UT Dallas, I've got no problems putting them in the rankings. Let's give respect where respect is earned. You know, my team, Southwestern, they went 4-0. They have a win over Pacific Lutheran. That's a team that should be under consideration as well. I'm not sure I'm going to put them in there, but again, a team that did well and has some skins that should be looked at by the voters. And then the last one I have is Averett. They went 5-0. It's a team I wouldn't normally consider. They went 5-0. They've got a win over Washington and Lee. And the reason I like that win is Washington and Lee was actually undefeated in the spring. So, you know, it's not a bad resume for them as well. I may need to, you know, wait a week, see what else they can do. But all of these teams, as far as I'm concerned, and there was a number of others with one loss that I would consider as well. But like I said, I think I bounced 7 from that list. I think when I look at this, I've got 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If I included Babson, that would be 7. In my rankings, I'm not sure I'm going to have 3 New England teams just because I haven't seen New England play. But I definitely would have Babson on there before I would have someone else, is I guess my point. So that's kind of my look at the top 25. It's kind of the teams that should stay in, the teams that should bounce out, some of the teams that haven't really been considered. It was interesting. It was interesting to see. I like doing it from a standpoint of just seeing where everyone is. There's so many games being played that you just lose sight of the bigger picture. Fun for me, hopefully not too boring for you if you're still listening. The last thing I wanted to touch on, I kind of wanted to switch to the West region for a second and kind of see where we are with that particular region, Region X. We've already talked about Trinity, Colorado College, CMS, UTD, and Mary Hardin Baylor. I haven't mentioned too much about Whitworth, but they're in my top 25. Whoops, that gives me 17. So now I'm in trouble. Now I've got things to play with tomorrow. But I like Whitworth. I like them coming into the season, and they didn't do anything to prove that impression wrong or dissuade me. And again, I'll just repeat it. Nationally, there are a ton of one-loss teams that are interesting, and there's going to be a few that should be ranked that we haven't discussed. But there's plenty of time for them to get on the list of the voters. All you really have to do is win. Easy, right? Southwestern was on the list above, which we just talked about. You know, if I was a voter AVCA voter, I would vote for them. Whether I'll put them in my top 25 or not, but that's, you know, I have to admit some bias there, which would, but that would probably push me over the edge to vote for them. You know, I also wouldn't balk at someone voting for UC Santa Cruz based on what I saw from them. You know, it's, if you want to be a full West Region homer, then go ahead and add Austin College to the mix. They went 5-0. Didn't play the strongest of schools, but at the same time, they didn't, you know, stumble or fall at all. And so that's a, you know, if you want to be a West Region homer, go ahead and give them a vote. You know, schools in the West that still that had some good records but have a lot more to prove in my mind is George Fox and Laverne. I mean, Austin College does too, for that matter. But those teams each had a loss to their record. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's basically the West for you right now. We'll have to see how it shapes up. I'm a little worried about the West right now, to be perfectly honest. Based on what I saw, I was a little worried about the SCIAC coming into the season. I'm probably a little more worried about the SCIAC coming out of the first weekend. But all of that can change. It doesn't take much to change. So I will be looking at all this again tomorrow. I've got to put together a top 25. I don't have to, but I will put out a top 25. So, you know, make sure you check out the site for that when that gets published. It'll probably be in the afternoon. This certainly has helped organize my thoughts. And because of that, I will not charge you for listening. So you are welcome for that. What are the chances that you come across a free podcast, right? You just don't see that anymore nowadays. But that's going to wrap it up for now. If you haven't visited the site, do that now at d3vbwest.com. If you are a visitor, then I have to wonder why you're not there now. But this is Robert Rochelle, and until next time, thank you for listening.